So here we are, brand new year, and I don't know how that kind of greets you, how you kind of measure up to the idea of another year. I was reading on Friday as I went back to work and prepared my heart and asked God to stir my own thoughts with what he wanted me to share with you today, that as far as the Office of National Statistics is concerned, today... And by the way, this is a lovely, cheery thought for you to chew on as you enjoy your lunch a little bit later. But this is not me, this is them. The Office of National Statistics declares today, January the 6th, the Day of the Dead. Yeah. Because, listen, according to its data, since 2005, there have been, on average, 25% more fatalities on January the 6th than any other day of the year. Hey, I just thought I'd cheer you up with that this morning. And you know, it gets worse, because they say that not only that, but the Samaritans will field more calls today, January the 6th, than any other day of the year too, because of this post-Christmas slump that psychologists have now given a name to, and they call this post-Christmas slump the broken promise effect, whereby that hope, albeit false in their estimation, that actually comes with the Christmas season and the prospect of starting over afresh at the beginning of a new year, never seems to be able to lift the clouds of despair that people enter the Christmas season living under. Now, again, I don't tell you that to kick you while you may be down. I know this is a hard time of year for many people, as much as it's a joyous time of year for many others. But I do want to let you know that right at the heart of what I want to say to you this morning is that what no season, even the Christmas season, can deliver, I want to say to you, a Saviour can. That's what I want to say to you. If you remember nothing else, remember that. Because our verse for this year gives us the idea of a focus that we've been building on in our SOS vision, that we want to be soaring with our Saviour. To live life at a higher level. To live life as Jesus promised to give life to the full. And to live life, don't we, in the real joy of it all. Soaring with our Saviour, thriving more than just simply surviving, enjoying more than simply enduring, maturing more than simply moaning. Amen. Don't you want to soar with Jesus Christ in 2019? Not living in hope that trouble won't come, because it's guaranteed to come, but living with hope when trouble does come. Not asking God, as we so often do, when are you going to get me out of this mess? But actually asking God, what should I be getting out of it now I'm in this mess? Different question. And so that's why we've got this verse for the year here at Shirley Baptist Church. And it's on the cards. Take a few with you. Read it, pray it in, think it through. But what a verse it is. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Now, folks, did you pick up the promise that is there just in that part of that one verse? Those who hope in the Lord, here it is, will, promise, will renew their strength, will, promise, soar on wings like eagles. And then to add blessing upon blessing and hope upon hope, Isaiah goes on to say again from the Lord, to God's people, promise, will run and not grow weary. Promise, will walk and not be faint. Now, we need to be careful, because the promise is not that we won't get tired or weary, or that even at times we won't stumble and fall. You know, because as the previous verse says, if you went back to verse 30, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men do stumble and fall. So our verse mustn't be taken out of context and be seen as a contradiction of the verse that comes before it. The promise is of renewed strength when we are weary and tired. The promise is of refreshment as we run to embrace God's will and as we walk in his ways for our life. Even Jesus got tired in doing God's will. He was asleep on the boat on one occasion, which scared his disciples to death because they thought he'd forgotten all about them. But Jesus never got tired of doing God's will. And what have we just celebrated through bread and wine? The fact that he finished it. Don't you sometimes get tired in doing God's will? I do. I certainly do. I mean, it's not easy, is it? Called to live a holy life in a world where almost anything unholy goes. That can be draining. Challenged to connect with culture and yet not be compromised by culture. That's hard. Constrained to love everyone, which we are, and yet without necessarily loving everything that everyone does. Condemned for what we believe in following Christ more than we're ever congratulated for it. There are times when we get weary. There are times when we get tired, because even the Christian life is never promised to be comfortable or always easy. Now, I'm not complaining about it. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just commenting on it, confident that God's given His word, so that whatever wearies us, whatever weakens us, whatever worries us, whatever wrestles with us, we can still know without a shadow of a doubt, look at it, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. I tell you, that encourages me, and I wanted to encourage you. It's why C.S. Lewis said, a man can't be always defending the truth. There must be a time to feed on it. And so here's what I want you to take to heart this morning by reducing all that I'm going to say down to one simple sentence. And I hope you can remember it, because it does rhyme a little bit. God does not just want us to get by. God wants us to fly. Right? Do you understand that? God does not just want us to get by. God wants us to fly. And if we are to see what eagles see, if we are to do what eagles do, if we are to have what eagles have, and if we want to soar as eagles soar, then we have to be willing to go where eagles dare to go. Amen. Now, look, sometimes in order to come into our calling means that we've got to come out of our comfort zone. That's why there's a lovely verse in Deuteronomy 32:11 that speaks of God's loving care for his people, and God himself is pictured as the eagle. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. This is a picture of the Lord. And why does an eagle stir up her nest and deliberately break up that which it's taken so long to build and fashion so high up the mountain? Why does an eagle do that? Because it needs to teach the eaglet to fly. And it's got to break up the comfort zone of the nest for the eaglet to get it out of the nest and into flight to enjoy to the full the purpose that the eagle has. And you know, all I want to do for a few moments this morning is simply that. I just want to stir up the nest in the name of the Lord who loves you. And I want to do it through using one word, hope, and taking that word hope and making an acrostic that, please God, if we take it to heart, whatever our situation, whatever our storm, whatever our struggles, whatever our joys, we can soar in the Lord to the level that he wants us to go. Because he doesn't just want us to get by. He wants us to fly. Now, the first is simply this. And I think those have got out of order. But there we go. Be honest before the Lord. You're going to put your hope in the Lord. If you're going to seek to soar in the Lord, then the means to do that to begin with is to be honest before the Lord. Look at what I've underlined there, just in that one sentence, the word those. Who are going to soar with the Lord? Those who hope in the Lord. Those willing to believe God for the promise that he's given to them. Those open to be led by the Spirit and directed down paths unknown. Those who can be truly counted on rather than those who are continually counted out. Those who won't allow earthly practicalities to limit heavenly possibilities. And those who don't run from God when a storm hits, but gladly run to him, knowing that like the eagle, we can soar above it, and God can take us through it and bring us out of it, better equipped and better able to be the person that he grows us and matures us to be. Be honest before the Lord. Are you open to soar with the Lord this year? I know you would like to, but the question is, are you open to soar with the Lord? Do you want to live in the very fullness of the life that he died and rose again to deliver to us? Then you've got to be honest before the Lord and own up, as I continually have to own up, to that urge to stay comfortable with how things are, where we're at, and what we're used to doing, and let him take us to where we need to be to achieve that which is above and beyond what at the moment some of us might think is impossible for us to do. In other words, to soar. To soar. Where we can be fruitful in our serving for the Lord, where we can be cheerful in our giving to the Lord, where we can be faithful in our worshiping of the Lord, where we can be grateful for our blessings from the Lord, and where we can be dutiful in our dealings with the Lord. Just imagine that. Wow. Like an eagle. You're like an eagle's eye view on the world. It's where God wants to take you. I can't give you all the history leading up to what Isaiah is saying to encourage us with in just this one part of one verse. But to suffice it to say that it's written with Jerusalem under siege and Israel about to fall, and it's good and it's best about to be taken off into exile in Babylon. And to a people at that time who had heard about God, knew about God, but had clearly forgotten about God, the questions that come thick and fast, almost as quickly as a weed appears once the soil's been freshly turned. Why would God allow this? What is God wanting to do because of this? Doesn't God care about us in this? They're the questions that always come. So God helpfully reminds them who he is, and the uncomfortable truth that he's not answerable to them, they're answerable to him. Don't you find that uncomfortable? Sometimes it's easier for me to seek God to be answerable to me. But actually, I'm answerable to him. Do you not know? We read. Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary. And his understanding, no one can fathom. He is God, not me. His understanding is unsearchable. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And the person that wants to soar with Jesus has to be honest enough to admit that and accept that and trust themselves to that. Because God doesn't always give us the answers to the questions that we ask. And doesn't that frustrate you now and again? I know it does, because some of you phone me up and you want to know what God's doing. And sometimes I can't tell you what God's doing. And sometimes when I do tell you what God's doing, you don't want to hear what God's doing. And I'm exactly the same as you are. Do you want to soar? That's the question that God brings us to. Do you actually want what I want to give you? Be honest. You're not answerable to me. Do you want to grow the way I want to grow you? Do you want to be released for what I want to release you for? Do you want to be used in the way that I can best use you? Does that not remind you of the question that Jesus asked that man 38 years lame at the pool of Bethesda that we looked at middle of last year? When Jesus said to him, do you want to get well? Because, you see, when God steps in and does something wonderful and encouraging, even miraculous in your life, you're never going to be the same as a consequence of that, and things are going to be different. And that can take you out of the comfort zone that you're in to a place where you've got to trust and you've got to look to Him who will never grow weary and tired and will never let you down. I don't know if you've ever read this book, R.T. Kendall, Out of the Comfort Zone. This is a book for the last 5 years that I've tried to read in the few days before I come back to begin a new year in service here at Shirley Baptist Church. It more than challenges me, but in the nicest possible way, it threatens me. It threatens me because I don't want to settle simply for how things are. I want to be soaring to where things ought to be. And there's one sentence in this book that I can't ever seem to erase from my mind or my soul. And here it is. I can't seem to get past it. Where R.T. Kendall says, many Christians are today sitting happily in the middle of their personal comfort zones and yet feel God has confirmed their right to be there. I need the Lord to stir the nest, don't you, at times? Because I can find myself in a place where I'm quite happy, quite settled, quite comfortable, quite able to cope with life. And sometimes the Lord's got higher things for me. Higher in the sense that they're His purpose for my life. We don't measure ourselves against what God is doing in somebody else's life. But if I'm going to soar, I've got to be honest before the Lord. Because God doesn't just want us to get by. God wants us to fly and reach our potential in Him. And then secondly, let me remind you that we need to be obedient to the Lord. If the H is honest, the O is obedience. If we're going to soar, it's not going to happen if we're not going to be obedient to the Lord. Now you notice where I've put the emphasis in this little phrase now. I've put it on the word Lord. Because we can hardly call Jesus Lord when actually we're not obeying what our Lord wants us to do. That is at best a contradiction in terms. At worst, it's just total hypocrisy. He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. And we need to be obedient to the Lord. Now, I may show my wife how much I love her by buying a few flowers for her now and again. And I can show my family how much I love them by providing the time to be with them now and again. And I can show you, hopefully, to a little degree at least, how much I love you as this fellowship at Shirley Baptist by seeking to be the best that I can be as a pastor here in this church. But the way that I show the Lord how much I love him is not by how often I sing or how much I give or how well I stand. Those things can be important. But I show the Lord how much I love him simply by how much I obey him. It's not a difficult thing to understand, but it is a difficult thing to employ. Jesus said it simple, sweet and straightforward. John 14:15. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Not what popular opinion says. Not what culture dictates. Not what tradition allows, even church tradition. That could be wrong. Not what I feel is best or easiest or right for me. But doing what I command, says Jesus, is the way for you to say you love me. It's the way for you to say you want to soar with me. It's the way for you to say you want to bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit for me. I mean, if we love him, we're going to obey him. Because we know that obedience is crucial to spiritual happiness. If you're not happy in your walk with the Lord, here's a question for you. Can I just ask you? I ask it of myself. Are you obeying God? Because obedience is crucial to spiritual happiness. It's also indispensable to spiritual health. And obedience, even more than that, is also necessary for spiritual holiness. If you find yourself going down a path that actually is taking you away from the will of God for your life, ask yourself, where did I get off the track? Where did I be anything less than obedient to the Lord? If we want to soar, we want to live in the hope of all that he promises, we've got to be obedient. Remember what Samuel said to King Saul, who lost his authority, who lost his crown, who lost his joy because he wouldn't obey the Lord? Samuel says, Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, because nothing replaces obedience in God's eye, because disobedience is a total rejection of God's word. And if you're here and I'm here this morning and we won't take the word of God seriously to us, I want to tell you for sure this: God does. God does. Be honest before the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord, because obedience is everything to God. Obedience is not doing anything for God, but it is doing the right thing by God. Amen? It comes down to love. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter, having denied him 3 times? And when Peter was met by Jesus on the beach on that resurrection Sunday, do you remember? You remember what Jesus said to Peter? He didn't say, Peter, feed my sheep, did he? He didn't say, Peter, do you even like my sheep? Do you even love? No, the first question Jesus said to Peter was this: Peter, do you love me? Because Jesus knew, and he asked it for 3 times for obvious reasons, but Jesus knew that if Peter loved him, as he knows if we love him, the issue of feeding his sheep and fulfilling his calling was never going to be in question. The Lord says, Sean, do you love me? Well, if I love him, the issue of obeying him is never even going to come up. Because the more I love the Lord, the more I want to obey the Lord. And the more I obey the Lord, the more I'm going to serve the Lord. And then, of course, we need to be patient with the Lord. I put this in as the third point because actually, when I look at the time now, it's going to test you anyway. but I couldn't ignore it, could I? In fact, I put it up here under the word hope. But some of you have got a version of the Bible that instead of using the word hope, it uses the word wait. Yeah? Those who wait upon the Lord. Those who hope in the Lord. The hardest part of faith to me is the waiting part, because God is never in as much of a hurry as I am. Have you found that? You know, if I was God, this place would be packed this morning. I know we'll get there, but I'm in more of a hurry than the Lord is. If I was God, there wouldn't be a need in the church that couldn't be met. But I'm a man in a hurry. And I'm discovering that if I'm going to soar with the Lord, part of being able to soar with the Lord, part of me discovering who I am in the Lord, is actually coming to the place where I am patient with the Lord and I'm waiting on His timing, because I don't want to fall behind it. I don't want to get ahead of it. I want to stay right on it, because that's the place of blessing. That's the place of life. That's the place of soaring. And some of you may be in a waiting time at the moment, and it annoys you no end, doesn't it? But you wait on the Lord. Thomas, he couldn't wait for the Lord, could he, on that first resurrection Sunday? And so therefore, he leaves where he should have been and he goes off. And instead of enjoying the very presence of the risen Lord, he spends a whole week struggling with his doubts about the Lord. Sometimes, you know, the waiting is not because God has anything but the best for us. The waiting is that in the process, God is able to bring the best out of us. I don't know about you, but I'm learning that continually in my life. Any of you ever seen the film Trapeze? It's an old film. Burt Lancaster stars in it. Some of you young people, you haven't got a clue who Burt Lancaster is. You know? You think of Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise or George Clooney a few years ago. That was Burt Lancaster at his prime. And in this film, Trapeze, he plays the catcher on a high trapeze act. And he's trying to teach his protege, who's played by Tony Curtis. Again, some of you younger ones would never heard of him. Okay, but he was a big star in his day. And he's trying to teach him, you know, how to make the most of the act that they've got, with all the tricks that they've got to do, and still be safe, because it's a long way from up there to down there if the catcher misses you. And Burt Lancaster as the catcher is telling his protege, it is not up to you as the flyer to try and catch me. You're going to fall that way. It's up to me as the catcher to have you wait on me and trust me, and I will catch you. The problem is that sometimes we're the flyer, God is the catcher, and we want to be trying to catch God because we're not certain He's going to be there to catch us. And it ends up knocking us to the ground, deflating us in our spirit, robbing us of our enthusiasm, spoiling our kind of countenance. And so instead of flying above the storm, we run from the storm. And when we should be in the very presence of God, encouraging others, we're away from God because we're discouraged in ourselves. Because we wouldn't wait. We couldn't trust God with His timing. We thought He was behind the time. But God never is. Unlike British Rail, He's always right on time. And He's right there for us. Don't give up. You want to soar? Be patient with the Lord. I know some of you are waiting for that husband to come to Christ. Is it ever going to happen? Wait on the Lord. I know some of you are waiting for that job opportunity to arrive, that pay increase to come, that healing to be a part of your life. You know, I haven't got God's book and clock on your life. But look to Him. And I promise you, when you need Him, He will be there waiting for you. The only thing to say this morning as I conclude in a moment is this. The only thing that we never need to wait for with the Lord is that moment in time when He calls us to come and receive our salvation from Him. Don't you wait a minute longer if you're here this morning and you know nothing of the love of Christ that is pictured in this bread and in this cup. The moment to receive Christ is always now. Because the day of God's favor is here for you. Never wait on that. And then the last thing to mention very quickly as his hope. Be expectant of the Lord. Not just be honest before the Lord. Not just be obedient to the Lord. Not just be patient with the Lord, but be expectant of the Lord. Look at how I've put it up there. Remember, this is the promise we're going back to. Full circle. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And because that's a promise, we can live in expectation of what God will do when we honour him with what he expects from us. And when we do that, what's going to happen? Our faith is going to be stretched. We discover that God does honour his promise, and that just gives us the encouragement to believe in for more than what we've already thus far believed in too. That's faith, isn't it? I want 2019 to be a year where God stretches my faith, where I'm asking God for the impossible, because I don't simply want to settle at Shirley Baptist Church for what I can do in and of myself. You need more than that. I need more than that. That's not soaring. Yeah, we've got a race that's marked out for us to run. That's individual. We've got to walk each day in the good purposes and plans of the Lord. But if we're going to soar, we've got to be expectant of what God can do. Not try and pray our prayers and bring it down to the level at which simply I'm just reminding myself of what I can do. I want to be praying, Lord, things that only you can do, because when he comes through, you will know it, I will know it, and only he then can get the glory for it. Amen? I mean, how is your faith? Are you that weary and tired that you need to have your strength renewed? Well, that's what we're here for, isn't it? Not here to beat somebody down because you're weary and tired. That's not the whole point of the verse at all. I'm here to say, if you're weary and tired and you're on the point of giving up, listen, this is for you. Put your hope in the Lord. He wants you to soar. He wants to grow you. By this time next year, the people even closest to you may not even know you because of what he's done in your life. Now, I started by telling you that statistics today show us that today is a day when really you don't want to be taking too much of a risk because it might be fatal. But we're not here, thank God, are we, looking at the death data of a world around us and running scared. We're here today looking into the Word of God, looking to the life of Jesus and seeking to soar, because God doesn't simply want us to get by, God wants us to fly. Not simply to get us to church once in a while, but actually to get us out as the church, to be a witness to the world everywhere we go, with every opportunity that we've got. Not to treat prayer like a last resort, but to know it as a first priority. Not to sit back and let others serve us, but to step forward and see how in God's good purpose and plans we can best serve other people. There's a seat halfway up the mountainside at Lake Oldswater. There's a bench there. In fact, there's a cottage behind it now. If you've ever been up Oldswater, you know what I'm talking about. That bench is called Seldom Seen. Lovely name for a bench, isn't it? Do you know why it's called Seldom Seen? Because very few people can make the energy and put the effort into going that far up the mountain to sit in the bench and admire the view. What a view it is! What a vista! What a horizon! But the bench is called Seldom Seen because so few get to the place where they can rest on it and enjoy it, having soared that high up. Folks, I want to sit on that bench with the Lord this year. Things that were seldom seen in 2018, I want to see in 2019. Things that were seldom prayed for in 2018, I want to pray for in 2019. Growth that was seldom seen in 2018, I want to see in 2019. Lives that were not changed in 2018, I want to see changed in 2019. I want to soar with the Lord. And I want you to soar with the Lord and sit on that bench so that by the end of the year, it won't be a bench to us that's called seldom seen, It'll be a bench that's called, "Wow, I'm glad I saw it." I'm glad I saw it. Be what? Honest before the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. Be patient with the Lord. Be expectant of the Lord. And you got his word on it. The God who doesn't just want us to get by, the God who wants us to fly, you will soar on wings like eagles. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, fill us with its hope. Fill us with your life. Fill us with your joy. And open us up to adventures in this coming year, that when we look back upon it, we'll be surprised even ourselves that we were able to believe you for what perhaps even today, right here, we're struggling to believe you for. Take us on, Lord. Take us further. Take us up. And make of us the man and the woman of God that you sent Jesus to die and rise again to allow us to become. Because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.